We're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGR Radio, Mike O'Hare, DetroitLions.com, as we talk NFL football. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Kenny Brown. Was that NFL football or the NFL track meet?
Well, I got some questions. We'll talk about that in a minute about it. I heard everybody, a lot of people saying last night, oh, this is the greatest weekend of football in the history of football and blah, 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 blah. Slow your roll. Slow your roll. It was four good games, but slow your roll on that.
Well, it depends on when where your history started. You know, that's all. I mean, this didn't beat a lot of games that I've seen, and probably a lot that you've seen too. But it was fun. It really was.
It was fun.
And you know, the nice thing about it is, what really made it fun for people in Detroit, they had a rooting interest one way or the other, even though the Lions weren't in it. But it was in Matthew Stafford. Some people wanted him to win. Some people wanted him to lose. But nobody didn't care.
That part is true. But I see a bigger problem coming with the league. We'll get into that in a little while with the way not only games are being officiated, but if they're not going to let them play defense, this game is going to turn into the NBA in a few years. And you get to a point in the NBA now where you can't even watch a game for three quarters, man. It's just up and down, three passes and a three-pointer, back up and down. And I don't want the NFL to turn into that. And I think they're kind of legislating defense out of games now. And defense is an important part of the game, and you got to be able to let these guys do something.
No, I would agree with that. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with a really good, tough-hitting, you know, 21-17 game, something like that. I don't think it's got to be, you know, three touchdowns and two field goals in a span of a minute and 50 to be a good game. Now, it's exciting, the finish and all that, but I also like to see a good tough-hitting, too.
Yeah, and the reason why these games over the weekend were exciting because they were closed games and they all were
did
by kicks. And as long as that's going, you got that. But that won't last if you don't let these guys play D. Because teams' offenses are being drawn up now are too good. And, you know, the quarterback play is much better than it has ever been, even though there's a lot of bad quarterbacks out there. But still, I say overall, the quarterbacking is much better. And it's just – if you're not going to let these defensive guys, you got to give them something. And I know you take it to the extreme for ratings or whatever, but I just feel you got to pull back on some of this coming up in the future. Otherwise, all the kids that go to high school, and they're going to want to play offense in college. They're going to want to play defense. The worst players are going to be the defensive players.
Well, it never used to be that way. You used to put the best players on defense.
That's what I'm saying. But now, you're not going to let them play, then why would I? And, like, I'm worried about running back the same way. And your best athletes were your quarterback and your running back. If I'm a running back now and I know I'm not going to be drafted to the second round and I'm only going to have a short career and they're going to use me and get rid of me, why would I want to play running back in high school and college if I could play something else?
I don't care about that. You play what you play.
No, but I'm saying you want your athletes to play these things.
I don't care.
Well, you should care because otherwise you won't never get the quality coming into college, which comes into the pros if guys, the best players, are not going to play the position.
The best running backs will be the best running backs. They always will be.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Just mark my words on that.
I'm breathlessly waiting.
I bet you are. Any before we get into the way this – let's do the Stafford thing last first. Any other impressions of the first three games?
Well, one of the things that we've already beaten to death is that the quarterbacks, the young quarterbacks, look, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford to a degree, you know, represent the old guard. And Stafford outplayed them all. He really did. I mean, he was by far the best quarterback of the old group this last weekend. And the young guys, I mean, they may be young, but they're already established. It's not like Patrick Mahomes is a new guy and then all of a sudden he just showed up for the first time. No, he's been doing this now for 3-4 years. And, you know, Josh Allen, to a lesser degree, this is probably his second year of really, you know, being in the limelight and showing what he's got and showing that it's an awful lot. But you know, I would like to see, you know, a running back take over. I'd like to see a team go, you know, 11 plays, 70 yards, and the running back carrying 8 of those times. I like that kind of football. But what I like and what they're going to present to us are different things, and I move on and accept what I see.
I can understand that. Thing I got out of this weekend is that if you don't have a upper echelon quarterback, it's going to be hard to win these high-end games, as it gets later in the rounds. And I'm relating to the Tannehill thing, Ryan Tannehill. An awful performance by a first-round pick, a guy that should play better than that, at least not hurt your team. And he lost the game for him. I mean, you can say what you want. He lost that game for him.
Well, he certainly didn't help it. I'm kind of reluctant to place it on one person unless it's a drop pass in the end zone at the end of the game. But he certainly didn't play well. And you can say, well, you know, they were deflected passes. Well, don't throw it where they can deflect them. Don't throw it into traffic like that. You can't. That's how they get deflected.
That's right. That's right. And that, like I said, that's a home game. You had your week off. You got your running back back, even though he wasn't the same. He was still back.
No.
You got to win that game. And you sacked the quarterback, Burrow, 9 times. I've never seen a 9-time sack quarterback win a game. I just never have seen it. And that's what blew my mind.
Well, I'm not – you know, look, he's got a ways to go. He's only played, you know, 10 games his rookie year and then this year. But he might be the best of the bunch. He really might be. He's got something in there that's super special. Now, will he surpass Mahomes? Will he surpass the guy in Buffalo? I think he's got a chance to. I really do. But it doesn't really matter because they're all far and away good enough to lead a team and win a championship with. It's just, you know, sort of for bragging rights, who the king of the hill is, because whatever you need to define yourself as a quarterback that can lead a team, he's got, those guys all have it and more.
Well, all I know is they're going to come back 3 or 4 years on that Chase Sewell debate. And right now, okay, you could say you got a great player in Chase, but I'm telling you right now, man, you already had receivers. You taking that lineman would have been much more for his health going forward than Chase will. Now, we'll see how that works out in 3 or 4 years. Let it sit for a while. But I said on draft day that was a mistake. Protect your franchise quarterback. And they took the receiver. And I'm telling you right now, if they don't protect that kid, he already tore his ACL his first year. He's getting sacked around this year. He holds the ball, which is part of, you know, learning. But you don't want him taking these hits, man.
Well, taking hits are part of playing quarterback. I mean, you're watching the games, guys are getting hit, and that's part of football. What are you going to tell Josh Allen not to run? That's his game.
You're going to tell him not to run and crazy. You don't want him to be like Cam Newton. Yes, you are going to tell him not to run as much. Yes. And you taking hits may be part of the game, but taking a lot of hits is not part of the game.
I don't think you can change his game. I really don't. You may tone it. You may be a little more selective in when you run, but in the circumstances, if you had 38-3, you know, just throw the ball. Don't go take it off. But when you're in a competitive situation, he's got to go with what he does best, and that's movement in and out of the pocket and delivering the ball downfield. So you can't take that away from him.
Yeah, but he throws the ball. Allen throws it. He's not like Cam, but Cam's running is what wrecked him. And I'm telling you right now, Lamar Jackson's running is what's going to wreck him. As you can see, he's breaking down the last couple of years, and it's not going to get any lighter. He's not going to get any more protection as he goes forward. He's getting older, and he's taking a lot of hits, and he's not a big guy. So all this running, man, I'm telling you right now, it's going to catch up with you.
Well, Kenny, I think you see more doom on the horizon in general than I do. Let's get back to the tournament.
That's right. I'm a visionary.
Yes, you are.
I'm a visionary. Let's do a little exercise here. Stafford
exercise?
Golf.
Can I do it standing up?
Yes, you can do it standing up. You can do a squat.
Yeah.
Stafford golf.
And what's
everything staying the same? Switch them back. Trade never happens. Everything else stays the same, though. Coaching change. Von Miller, Beckham, all that. Everything else stays the exact same.
So what are the only difference is
Stafford's on Detroit and Goff's back with L.A. Are the Rams in the NFC Conference Finals this week? And what was the Lions' record have been this year?
Well, the Lions were 3-13-1, I think, with Matthew Stafford. They would have been something like 6-11. 7-10, something like that. I didn't, with the coaching change and all of that, and what they did in the roster, I didn't see this as a breakthrough franchise, no matter who played quarterback this year. And for the Rams, finished up what 12-5, was it?
12-5.
12-5. I'd take them down, still in the playoffs, but 3 wins fewer than they got. I'd make them a 10-win team, just based on what I've seen. I look, didn't sit and watch and study every game or anything like that, but just from what I've watched, and you know how they were able to get on a streak with Stafford, you know, started out 7-1, finished up winning 5 straight before the last loss. I think he ultimately gave the Rams what they were looking for, and that was a big time quarterback with a big time arm who can bring it from behind.
I go the same way with the Lions, 6-11, 7-10, they would have been. I agree with that. But the Stafford and golf with the Rams, I got 9-8. They would have been 9-8. They would have lost probably both games to Arizona. They already did lose both games to San Francisco. I think they would have lost one to Seattle. I just don't see Goff elevating that team at all. And I think Stafford won a lot of games for them that normally they wouldn't have won this year.
Well, you know, he won a lot of games for the Rams when he was there, too. He did that. That's on his record. What, he went in the last 4 years, 43 games, something like that?
Yeah.
He has a record of winning games with the Rams. I mean, don't you possibly think you're selling him a little short there?
No, because I think Gurley was the key to that first resurgence. And then you saw that's when Goff went down after Gurley's knee went bad. And last year he had Cam Akers for that full season, 1,000-yard rookie back. And I think that's what the resurgence was last year. This year he wouldn't have had that running game like he had last year. And I just think it would have been a 9-8. We've seen him play when he doesn't have that back to back him up.
Well, his pass, I don't think he's the quarterback that Matthew Stafford is, but he did find a way to win games when he was with the Los Angeles Rams. An awful lot was put on him in terms of not necessarily, you know, blaming him, but certainly looking at him as a problem, not an asset. And I've never entirely agreed with that. I don't like the way that he was handled by McVay, the coach.
Nine wins is nothing to be ashamed of. Let's
no,
get
but,
that
but
out
it might not get you in the playoffs either.
Even if it might not, 9 wins as a quarterback, that's fine. I'm just saying that's about his ceiling to me with that team would be 9 wins. And, that's, you know, like I said, no disrespect to him. It's just I think Stafford was at least three games better for that team this year.
Well, that's basically, yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I just think we're selling him a little short.
Nah.
But, you know, look, we'll see. All of this will work its way out.
Now, this is one thing that I do want to talk about after watching all of these games yesterday. If you don't have a quarterback, you got no chance. You might be able to crawl into the playoffs like the Eagles did, but you're going out first Saturday, you're going out early. So my point is, with this second pick, or even with the first pick, if you trade back or whatever, if it's a quarterback you feel good about, I don't care what the scouting system says. I don't care what anybody else says. Lions got to look at taking a quarterback in this draft.
Well, what do we say? You don't care what the scouting system says. Absolutely, you have to care what the scouting
system says. No, not your scouting system. I'm talking about this ESPN, Mel Kiper scouting system where they say no quarterbacks.
Well, they don't look at that stuff.
Yes, they do. They all look at it. Matter of fact, there is a video on the web you can find it on YouTube. This was the 89 draft, whatever. It was Carl Peterson when he was with Kansas City. And he's doing the draft. He's in the draft room. And he's reading Mel Kiper's book when they're getting ready to pick. So don't say they don't look at this stuff. They do look at it. I don't say they
– Was that 1989?
It was like 89 or 90, somewhere. It was when I think it was the year Barry came out.
What's that? You couldn't find one from the 60s?
I'm just saying. Everybody says they don't look at –
ridiculous.
That's like everybody says the athletes, well, I don't read the paper. I don't know what they said about it. Yes, you do.
That's completely different.
No, it's not. These guys
– Team building is not the same as what – social media. And
no,
all
but I heard Bill Polian say that he likes to look at those things because he wonders if Mel and these guys like that are talking to other GMs and it gives them an idea on what the other teams are talking about. That's the way he said, we do look at them. So
that's not the same as using it for scouting.
I didn't say use it. I said they look at them.
Then why?
And what do they look at them for? To see hints, if they can get hints on who's drafted, who's looking at who. And where do these guys who do these mock drafts like Mel and them get? They talk to GMs and they talk to some of these guys. Some of this information is legitimate information. But my point, let's not get off the point. The point of the matter is, if you find a quarterback you like and you think he can be a starter for your team, I have. You got to take them. You can't. You got to have one.
So if you're the Detroit Lions with the second pick overall, you'd take a quarterback?
I might trade down and take a quarterback, or if it's a quarterback I like and I'm sure he's going to be the franchise guy I'm looking for, I'd take him. I wouldn't look back. I would take him.
But I'm talking about what's in the 2022 draft.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about the philosophy.
Do you think
of all this stuff that you've read, and I know you follow all these mock drafts and all that, and you think that there's a quarterback out there who's worthy of being drafted second overall?
If Brad Holmes feels that he likes a quarterback.
I'm asking what Kenny Brown.
No, I'm telling you, if I'm scouting and I like a guy and I know this is the guy, this guy's going to be a pro bowler, or this guy's going to be a franchise quarterback, I don't care what the mock drafts say, I'm taking him. Like I said, that's what the job entails. You got to find the guy. If you find your guy, take him. That's all I'm saying, and I'll let Brad Holmes seems like he has a pretty good eye for talent. I'll let him go on that. But if he sees a guy, don't let him go.
Well, that's nice of you.
It is. That's very nice of me. I too bad I couldn't say that about Bob Quinn.
Well, come on.
No, don't try to be nice to him. Too bad I couldn't say that about Bob Quinn. Too bad I couldn't say that about Martin Mayhew. We know we didn't say that about Matt Millen.
We know that. That's for sure.
So if you got a guy you like, don't hesitate to take him, because this is a quarterback league. And I'm looking at everybody talking about taking receivers in the first round. Look at the guy yesterday in Buffalo, Davis. The guy was a fourth-round pick, man. He scores four touchdowns. There are receivers out there. He's a fourth-round pick. You can find guys.
Well, you can also, though, if you plug him into the right system and then you just run routes and catch the ball, they're going to be successful. That's the way it is, because you already alluded to it. At the top of this, where you're talking about defenses not being allowed to play defense. That's part of it, too. It's different now. It really is.
Right. So that's why I said get your quarterback and get going. But we'll see. They have them at the Senior Bowl. They'll see a lot of these young quarterbacks. And if it's one that piques your interest, don't do like Patricia did a few years ago when he's looking at Herbert right there on the other sideline playing against them. Saw him all week in practice. And decided to pass.
Well, they were committed to Matthew Stafford back then, though, Kenny. That's a little different. It really is.
You could have had both, Mike.
Oh, okay.
You could have had both. And like I said, that's a forward-thinking organization than not is, well, I got a guy. But I got a guy who missed the last eight games with a back injury. He's 32 years old at the time. Maybe I should get a backup for him now that can transition. That's just the forward-thinking. So they didn't do it. And what do you think of the way the Lions have been represented the last 24 hours by national media and Stafford the helpless when he was here and he finally plays for one and now? And, well, that was Detroit. I've heard that so many times in the last 24 hours. Well, he was in Detroit. Detroit, Detroit, Detroit. Dan Orlovsky goes on the air today saying how everybody – he must have been talking about you, Mike. Was he talking about you? He said that the reporters in the locker rooms to come up to him and say, Stafford can't do it.
No, I wasn't one of the can't-do-it guys, obviously, and you know that.
So what do you think of the Matt Stafford if none of it was his fault?
I think it's certainly not what people said in Detroit. You know, so if you know, people in Detroit, in certain areas, certain locations, just absolutely piled on him for everything. And so maybe he deserves on some other level to be – you know, be cut some slack, because he certainly didn't get it in Detroit. And as you, I'm sure as you knew then, maybe, or you found out since, he was certainly highly regarded by teammates and people outside of Detroit, much more highly regarded than he was in Detroit. That was always kind of amazed me.
Well, you got to win. Like a game yesterday, we've saw that game before. It just wasn't on a national level. We saw it against Minnesota where he took a team down to a field goal. What was it, 20 seconds, 29 seconds?
I think it was 14 seconds.
14 seconds. So we've seen stuff like that before. National people have never seen it. And this is this is the stage, like he was saying, I want to be on so people can see what I can do. And now they go back and say, oh, well, okay, this guy really is good. See, it's all about winning. And you got to be winning, and you got to have those national games. You got to get your name out there.
And going into the playoffs, and I watched a lot of ESPN and a couple of other sites going into the playoffs, and the consensus was that no player in these playoffs was under more pressure than Matthew Stafford. That he had more pressure on him than anybody else. because he had some interceptions late in the season when they won five of their last six games, I might add, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And it should have been, the pressure should have been on Aaron Rodgers. Mr. Unvaccinated. Mr. Unvaccinated. Look, he got away last year, and I said this beginning of the year too. He got away last year with the performance in the game last year because he demanded to be traded, didn't want to come back. Everybody focused on that and didn't focus on his performance in that. Was it the NFC Championship game last year against Tampa Bay?
Correct.
Yeah.
At home.
Yeah. He should have been taking heat last year. This time he's not escaping it. So I'm glad because I think he's a – I don't know. I'm not even going to mention what he is. Everybody knows my feel about Aaron Rodgers. So we'll
doesn't
see.
Make him anything less than a great player.
Great player at a time.
He's still good. Still great.
I said two at a time.
But his record in the NFC Championship has not been good.
His record in the playoffs now, 11-10.
He hasn't been able to finish it off.
Nope. So – we'll see if he runs his route. To me, his best chance of winning is to stay in the National Football Conference and to stay in Green Bay. But we'll see if he wants to get out of there. So
I'd be surprised if he's in Green Bay. I never thought that way until now. Until watching him, his interview yesterday when I saw it for the first time, I would be surprised if he's back in Green Bay. Really would.
Well, good luck.
Because he was even talking about salary cap and guys with contracts up and. I don't want to be part of a rebuild.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Man,
I don't blame him.
No.
Take your choice.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. Anyway. Now, finally, before we get out of here, I got to bring this topic up, and this is from the Buffalo-Kansas City game. Overtime. Oh, my goodness. You would act like this overtime rule just came into effect this year where if you don't score a touchdown, the other team gets the ball. But if you do, it's over. The rule's been in effect 12 years now. Oh, my goodness, you ought to hurt everybody. What do you think? You think the rule was good? Keep the rule? Get rid of the rule? Should both teams get the ball?
Well, both teams get the ball if the defense on one side does its job and plays defense. Yeah, you both get the ball. And I don't like it or dislike it. It's the rule. It's the way it is. It's what they – you know, they have those, owners meetings and the competition committee goes through all of this stuff and they make up they make changes to rules as they deem necessary. And this is the one we have and it's fine. It's absolutely fine. I don't see anything wrong with it. Nothing.
I see nothing wrong with it. Like I said, nobody told you not to play defense. And all you got to do is keep them from getting a touchdown. You don't even have to keep them from scoring. Just keep them from getting a touchdown. You get the ball. So I have no problem with it. Now, if you want to go for the playoffs, if you think that it's not fair and you want to go for the playoffs and give a certain, play a 20-minute quarter or whatever, I'm all right with that.
I'm missing something. What do you mean go for the playoffs?
Regular season, keep the rule the way it is. I'm saying for the playoffs, if you want to change it for a playoff format, I don't care. I think the rule is fine, but if you want to and have just a time limit – like you can play overtime in those games because you don't have to worry about other games following and throwing off the TV schedule. So if you want to do it that way.
There already is a change in because it's 10 minutes in the regular season and it's a tie after 10 minutes. So they've already, now it's sudden death in the playoffs. I think it's fine. Really, because you need a winner in the playoffs. You can't have a tie. That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, but I'm talking about if you play a time quarter and you just play that full time, not if somebody scores the game is over.
No, I understand what
you're saying. That's what I'm saying. So I don't
but they already have that in the regular season, but you don't play the full time. If somebody scores within the 10 minutes,
right,
the game is over.
That's what I said. For the players, if you want to do it just a full time quarter, I don't have a problem with it.
But you also get the ball if say for example the Steelers kick a field goal. Well, the Lions get another chance to tie it, too.
Right.
So I think it's fine the way it is. I really do.
Everybody upset. In Kansas City a couple years ago, remember when they didn't get the ball when Brady came down and took it in overtime and won?
They did it in the Super Bowl with the Falcons.
So it's happened before. Everybody's like, this is something brand new this year. It's happened many times before. And I saw a stat. I was trying to find it right here while you were talking, that the person who wins the coin toss doesn't necessarily win the game. The stats are pretty much equal to winning and losing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like if you get the quarterback, if you get the coin toss, you're automatically winning. It's just not happening.
No, it's not automatic at all. No, you know, what I hope they never do, and I can't imagine they would, is go to the college rule, which I don't even understand What do they do, put the ball in the end zone? You have to fight your
You might as well have a rugby scrum for that. All right, so we got two games left this year. We got Kansas City and Cincinnati, and L.A. trying to beat San Francisco for the first time. San Francisco's won the last two. Well, they won the last six, but they beat them both times this year. Quickly, who do you think?
Well, first of all, let me just say that I'm 8-for-8 in my picks in the playoffs. I've gotten them all right, including with the betting point spread.
Very nice.
I didn't bet any of the games either.
Very nice.
I wish I had. Now, I like the Rams to beat the 49ers.
I thought you took the 49ers last week to go all the way to Super Bowl.
I did, but after watching them, I'm changing my mind now. I'm changing after watching them play.
Okay.
Because they don't have what you think they need. That's a quarterback.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'll take, I guess Mahomes. Really, I'm less focused on that. My focus really is on the Rams game because I want to see Matthew Stafford play, and I want to see him do well. So I just sort of give a weak vote of some confidence to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm taking Kansas City, and I'm going to take the Rams also. Even though if Cincinnati wins, I won't be surprised because they beat them like game week 17, I think. They beat Kansas City.
I'd be surprised because they really don't play enough defense.
You can't protect them. Can't protect him either.
I just don't think they play enough defense.
You cannot protect Burrow.
Bill Burrow, tremendous player.
Tremendous player. You better be drafting linemen. That's all I got to say from this point on. Protect that guy. All right, Mike. Well, that's going to be it for this week, and we'll talk again next week where we talk about the Super Bowl and the Senior Bowl because the Senior Bowl will be starting next week.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about both, see if Dan Campbell promotes an offensive coordinator by then, if we have word on that, and also how the week will work out. We'll talk about it. We'll do it probably Wednesday. Let's do it in the middle of the week next week.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's it for the Cannon Podcast. Michael here at DetroitLions.com, Ken Brown, WJR. Thank you, and we're out.